have no idea how important a part you have in the service. You have ministered to us. You are a blessing, and you ministered to me, and I know you did to others. So when you come up here to sing, you have a real important role, and you do it well. Of course, we can't deny the fact that John has a little part in it, too. He not only waves around, but he sings, too, with the choir. Now, before we turn to the word of the Lord, you might open your Bible to Ecclesiastes tonight. I'm going to have a special tonight. I'm holding in my left hand $11 worth of books. A Second Chance at Life by Bill Bright, published by Campus Crusade. When Loved Ones Are Taken in Death, Speaking in Tongues, You Can Win Over Worry and Depression, Bedside Blessings, Get Some of These for Sick Book Shut-ins, and then Key Bible Words for Young Christians. There's $11 worth of books to anyone who purchases two hardback books. Any two of my hardback books, you can have that $11 worth of books free. Now that is a Jewish bargain. Now I can say that because if you don't know it, my father was a Jewish immigrant. We Jews are accused of being tight and stingy and mean. We're not. Now I will admit that God has given to us an unusual control over our more generous impulses. But we're really not tight. Now all of the hardback books are uniformly bound. The Loazzo Brothers, a non-profit Christian publishing house, does an excellent job in the binding of my books. If you never read them, you took the jackets off, they would make a conversation piece on your coffee table. There are only 6 complete sets of the free ones, so if more than 6 people go there, we'll do something else for you. But if you want that bargain, there are 6 sets. Your Bible's open to Ecclesiastes. 4:15 by this clock up here. I don't understand that one. I'll take the one that I can see from here in the back. Let us pray. Our loving Father, it is with a fresh sense of gratitude that we enter into thy presence. As our ears have been hearing and our hearts have been feeling something of the grace and the glory which thou hast brought to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the ministry of song and of music. We thank thee, Lord, for the song that thou hast put into our hearts. And our hearts go out in regret and sometimes in sorrow as we meet so many Christians who have seemed to have lost their song. O God, restore unto such the joy of their salvation. Thou hast put a song in our hearts, in our mouth, even praise to our God. We've been blessed with that tonight. Now, Lord, we turn to the Holy Scriptures. Please, Lord, minister to our needs tonight and help us who hear to heed the word and to hide the word in our hearts and to handle it with much caution. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last night we had a brief overview of the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. I suggested to you that I think the key phrase in the book, found 27 times, are the 3 words, under the sun. That simply means a life lived apart from God on the natural plane. There are 3 heavens, the atmospheric heavens, the stellar heavens, and the 3rd heaven, the abode of God. Anything under the sun could be independent of God. And Solomon came to that conclusion. He tried wisdom man of great wisdom, chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And then he tried wine. Thought maybe if he would turn to some alcohol, it might help him somewhat. Then in verse 4 of chapter 2, he sort of bragged a little bit on his works. And then he makes mention of his wealth in verses 7 and 8. Held how many things he had built, what his great wealth was, had silver and gold, peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. And then he tried women, verse 8 of chapter 2, and came to the conclusion that everything that he had and did under the sun, independent of God, on the natural level, he ended up a fool. Verse 15 of chapter 2. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happeneth to me. And he learned that a life without God is like chasing the wind, running around in circles, one year after another with monotonous repetition, getting nowhere. Stop the world, I want to get off. Anyone who lives that kind of a life wants to get out of this world. It has nothing to offer. May I give you just a brief, very brief testimony? One day, the first death in my family that affected me was the death of my daddy. And then the death of my mother. Then the death of my wife. Then the death of my older son. And it seemed as though God took so much from me. But I've discovered that after he took from me these precious, precious ones, the Lord Jesus remained unchanged. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, may sound strange to you, but there's not a thing in this world that I want. You name it, I have no desire for it. A life lived independent of God with all the wealth that one can own. One can end up a fool, as did Solomon. Now, fortunately, he left us with a good closing message. The last chapter of his book, chapter 12, is a strong appeal to young people. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, get a hold of God early in life. I tried to live without him, Solomon said. Didn't work. I ended up a fool. When it came to women, he had more wives than any man who ever lived on planet Earth. I'd say that wasn't very smart. He said, I ended up a fool. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not before the evil days come to you, nor the years draw nigh. Do it before you come to old age. Well, thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And I can say, I have no pleasure in anything under the sun. Now, let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And I want you to notice in verse 9, Solomon said, there is no new thing under the sun. Now, there's some truth in that statement. He said, I tried it all. Now, under the sun means you're living on a natural plane, independent of God. You're not an atheist. Solomon was not an atheist. He believed in God. But he lived a life independent of trust in God. He said, I made a fool of myself. And I came to the conclusion that there's no new thing under the sun. I think he was right there in the true sense of the word. But having said that, I'm going to ask you to turn now to the last book in your Bible, the book of the Revelation. And turn to chapter 21, please. Revelation chapter 21. And I want to borrow a text from Revelation chapter 21. I want to read up to that text with verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, something new coming. Solomon said there's no new thing under the sun. I think he was right. Independent of God, there's nothing new. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Oh, there's something new then. New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. It's not heaven. It's not heaven. It comes down from God out of heaven. It's suspended into space. It's a satellite, just like planet Earth. Our present Earth is suspended in space. It's a satellite. And John saw a new one coming down from God out of heaven. I'm not going to be dogmatic about this, but I believe what we're reading in Revelation 21 is the place the Lord Jesus said, I am going to prepare for you. I'm not going to be dogmatic now. And I don't think you can prove me wrong, and I'm not so sure I can prove that I'm altogether right. But I do believe this is the place the Lord Jesus was talking about. So there's something new for the believer to look forward to, but it's not under the sun. James said in his epistle, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. Oh, and there are some new things, but they're not under the sun. They're not independent of God. Let's read on. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Thank God. There shall be no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things, or the old things, are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, now here's your living, resurrected, ascended Christ. Behold, I make all things new. What is he making new? There's no new thing under the sun. Now this comes from heaven, above the sun, from the abode of God. Three things this evening. What is it that he makes new? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I was walking up the walk this evening with a couple, and a question was raised about the lesson last night and the lesson tonight. And I said, well, tonight, we'll look at some new things. And the lady quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17. She was thinking. She was way ahead of me. She was anticipating part of our study tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, a new creation. This new creation is really the new birth. It's the doctrine of regeneration, being born again, a birth that could only come from above. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Now, turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I want to make a suggestion by referring you to the margin of your Bible. Now, I am not a King James only man. I carry with me and I read 5 translations of the Bible. But I was led to Christ in 1927 with the King James Version of the Bible, and I have never found in a modern translation anything new that I didn't find in the King James Version on the doctrine of regeneration, justification, imputation, identification, sanctification, or glorification. You show me anything new in a modern translation that's not clear in this translation of the Bible. Now, I carry 5 translations with me, and I read them, I consult them. I'm saying that because I want to say something this evening concerning this new creation. It's the new birth. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, now watch this, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, if you're reading from the Greek New Testament, that is not exactly what Jesus said. If you have a marginal reference in your Bible and you have a letter or a number before the word again, trace that letter or that number to the margin, and what does it say? Except the man be born from above. You see, this is something that cannot be gleaned under the sun. The new creation comes from above. Turn to chapter 1 of the Gospel according to John. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. The grace of God does not flow in human veins. I heard a preacher say, well-known preacher, he's in heaven now, heard him say this to 700 students at the Philadelphia College of Bible. I was in the audience. He said, my children will be in heaven because my wife and I will be in heaven. Widely known, widely listened to preacher, a great preacher. But he wasn't correct in that statement. The grace of God does not flow in human veins. This new creation, this new birth, comes from above, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. You can't born yourself. You can't say, I'm going to become a new creature, a new creature. No, can't do that. Not of the flesh. Nor of the will of man. Where does it come from? But of God. The new creation from above. Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. A new heaven and a new earth for a new people. A new creation. A new man. That's what Paul said in his 2 epistles to the Ephesians and Colossians. He contrasts a new man with the old man, or the old man with the new man. The old man is the old Adamic man. The new man is the new creature in Christ Jesus. Have you been born again? Have you been born from above? You can never get it under the sun. Solomon was right. There are some new things, but they come from above. Remember, the next time you quote John 3, except the man be born again, it literally says, except the man be born from above. Yes, there are some new things, but you don't get them under the sun. We have to look to the Creator and the Redeemer for this new creation. I trust tonight that you have experienced the new birth. Now, how is this new creation to be effected? Turn with me to the Epistle to the Hebrews, please. I'm going to ask you to find chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Let us look at verse 8. Oh no, I should go back to verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Well, we have a new creation. Now we have a new covenant. And this covenant comes from above. It's from God. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Verse 13. In that he set a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So you read frequently of the first covenant and the new covenant, the old covenant and the new covenant. What is this new covenant? Well, just look at a few verses and you'll see exactly what it is. I'm reading now from verse 6 of chapter 9. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people, the Holy Ghost, thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while was the first tabernacle, the first covenant was yet standing. That was merely a figure. Verse 11, But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, and purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament, a new covenant. It's the blood covenant. What did he make new? He made new a blood sacrifice that never needs to be repeated. He died once. Old Testament priests had to bring the blood sacrifices continually year after year after year after year. The dear man could never sit down in the holy place. But this man, offering his blood once, ascended back into heaven and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And there he sits tonight, because the work is finished. A new covenant. He said, Behold, I make all things new. I think the Epistle to the Hebrews was written to Hebrew Christians. And they were struggling. They were grappling with some serious problems. Number one, the temple was still standing in Jerusalem. It was not destroyed until 70 AD by Titus. And these new converts were raised on Old Testament sacrifices. And some of the Jewish friends and neighbors and loved ones were saying, Now look, you're not going to turn your back on that which has been practiced for thousands of years. They were paying a price when they received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this epistle was written to inform those Jewish converts that they're standing on a foundation that can never be moved. The old covenant was replaced by the new. That new covenant is the blood covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're saying, the writer is saying, and look, you better consider the foundation. You're on the foundation. If you're saved, don't go back to the old life. A new covenant. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus, the new covenant. He said, behold, I make all things new. My dear friend, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Doesn't matter which church you go to, your church will never save you. Its ritual will never save you. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can accomplish the work. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Unusual blood, it was God's blood. Acts 20:28. The church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ is God. He had no human father. If in these days someone would like to make Joseph the father of Jesus, any court of law would say we're going to have a blood test, get the blood count. If Joseph's blood is identical with Christ's blood, it's possible that he could have been the father. Wouldn't prove that he was, but it's possible. But you see, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ came in to that body in Mary's womb without a human father. No father, no man could be accused of being the child of Jesus. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is God. And the man who died on the cross was the God-man, a supernatural conception with blood provided supernaturally. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's nothing new under the sun, but all from above the sun. There comes a new creation and a new covenant. Once more, and then we'll be on our way. Turn with me now to the Gospel according to John, and find chapter 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the 13th chapter. When you found John chapter 13, you're going to find something else that is new. We move now from the doctrinal to the practical. Doctrinal teaching is very important. But doctrine that is not backed up with deportment could be a dead letter. You can never divorce deportment from doctrine. Now, we have to believe right if we're going to behave right. But it's possible to believe right and not behave right. And so the Lord Jesus, again, who said, I make all things new, said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Well, there's a new creation that produces Christians. Born from above Christians. There's a new covenant that tells us how we become new creatures through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after we become new creatures, there is enjoined upon us a new commandment. Now watch it. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you go to church regularly. Oh, no, no. Mm-mm. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love. One to one. What's new about this commandment? Right there in the text. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't ever forget this. Jesus Christ has not stopped loving you and me once. In Revelation chapter 1, there is a verb tense that needs a little change. And I'm not picking on the King James tonight. It's my favorite translation. Turn to Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation chapter 1. I have a wonderful text here in Revelation 1:5. Whenever I autograph, my commentary in Revelations is always the verse I put with my signature. I'm reading from verse 4. John's writing to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, the eternal Son of God. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Now watch this. Unto him that loved us. The verb tense is not in the past tense. A modern translation or a margin in your Bible will tell you unto him who loves us or loveth us. Present continuous tense. He has never once stopped loving us. That's why his mercy and his grace and his love and his forgiveness is always extended to his own who have been born again. Now he says, this is my new commandment to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, love your husband. Say that in the Bible? Oh yes, Paul wrote that to Titus. Wives, love your husbands. Parents, love your children. Oh, the garbage on television. The brutality of parents on their own children. Oh, the shame on young people. The disrespect in the news today. Today, a teenager got a shotgun and shot her aunt to death because she didn't want to live with her any longer. They shot her. She could have left. She could have walked out. Where's love today? Even among Christians, seems to be a missing note. This is the new commandment. You know where it comes from? It comes from above. From him who loves us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood. There's nothing new under the sun. Independent of God, there's nothing new. But he who is above all, the preeminent one, said, behold, I make all things new. I brought you a new covenant. I gave you a new life, a new creation. Now I'm enjoining upon you a new commandment. There's some nice new things, aren't there? For Solomon, he said, there's nothing new under the sun. But what we derive, dear friends, is not under the sun. It comes from above. Once more, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Thank you, Solomon. Sorry that you messed your life up. May God help us not to duplicate it and end up as fools, as did this man in his own confession. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for giving to us the Holy Scriptures. We thank thee for this book that is a self-interpretive book. The new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. And we thank thee that as we move from page to page, we see this progressive revelation of thyself and of thy plan for us poor sinners. Thank you, Father, that one day we heard, we believed, and we became new creatures.